All right, James chapter 4, verse number 12. Again, I always like to let y'all know when we start these studies in James that we're going to try to get some practical application from this. But as you know, there's a lot of prophecy in this book. It is directed doctrinally to the 12 tribes of Israel. And we know that they were scattered. They're scattered now, and they'll be scattered during the time of the Great Tribulation, after the church is taken out and the catching away, or what we call the rapture. But the rapture is describing the catching away. And this will be their mail directly to them. You know, as Americans, a lot of times we want everything to be right toward us. Everything's about us. You know that most of that Bible is not about you. You got a little bit in there that's directly to you, but you got to realize there were people who lived that had the Word of God directly to them then, and there's going to be a time period of people who are going to be here when we're gone, and they're going to have mail directly to them. And in the millennium, there's going to be people that have mail directly to them, so we can't take and say, it's all about me. That's the attitude of the world today. It's all about me. And I tell you what, you take it and it's all about you, you'll take stuff that's not for you, and it'll destroy you. So we're rightly dividing truth. There's truths that were directly to them that we can get spiritual application from that's not directly us. We're not bringing physical sacrifices anymore. I'm not running around here with the power to be able to run down in there and defeat a lion and in a pit on a snowy day. And so you've got things that aren't directly to you. But now, we're going to try to get some practical application from this, but I'm going to hone in on the doctrinal. So he says there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. And I had one guy, and he said, well, James is not talking about salvation there. And they try to spiritualize everything. It says save and to destroy. Well, if you get under the mail that has to do with the Jews, listen to this. In their mail, look at Matthew chapter 10. Verse number 28 says, save and destroy. Now, you got to realize that when James was written, James didn't know anything about a church age. He didn't know anything about the body of Christ. He didn't know anything about what was revealed to Apostle Paul. He was still looking for that literal, physical, visible kingdom and for the Lord Jesus to come rule and reign and for the doctrine that applied to them. He didn't know what you know because he didn't have your mail. And so he's writing with that in mind, and God done that for a reason, because those epistles, once we're gone, will be directly applied to them. Now we've got to keep that in mind. It says save and destroy. So in Matthew chapter 10, if you'll look here in verse number 28, it says, and fear not them which kill the body. So you don't need to fear man. Man kills the body. And it's amazing to me how the world fears man more than they do God. It says, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy. Remember, he said save and destroy. Destroy both soul and body in hell. You know that he's the lawgiver.
Yeah.
You better fear him. James is saying there, why? There's one, a lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. That's the context right here, James. So guess what? In the tribulation, they're in a rough situation. You know, that's why, I know I said it probably 100 times, and we'll probably say it 100 times more. Thank God that we're able to be saved like we are right now by grace through faith.
Amen.
Alone. All that. Why? Because they get in that, if you miss the rapture and you don't get saved here and you go in that great tribulation, brother, it's just literally, and I'm not trying to be irreverent, but unsheathed hell. Why? Hell on earth. The Bible talks about the pit opening up and stuff like that. You got people wondering, they like, what's on other... I've had people ask me, you believe there's life on other planets and stuff? You better not worry about other planets. You better be concerned about what's here.
Amen.
All the danger's right here. You got these people, they say, well, these aliens coming from outer space and stuff. Man, you got to be kidding me. You know where all the trouble is right here on this earth. If anything's bad, it's right here, I can tell you. God's got it confined. He's got that sin problem confined to one area. Right here in the universe. All our problems are right here. They're earthly, sensual, and devilish.
That's right.
That's where they come from. And that's what he's talking about. He said, look, this one lawgiver is able to save and destroy. So their salvation is in the context here. So now when we read James, he says in chapter 4, verse 12, who art thou that judgest another? Now, you know what he's saying? He's saying, look, the Lord's the one that's able to save and destroy. So you're not in any position to judge. God is the judge. So in the tribulation period, God's extending His grace to the Israel so that they'll be saved. Alright, so He's wanting all Israel to come to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. So they're supposed to be going out, that little believing flock, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom to all those lost sheep of the house of Israel. And you know what the temptation is going to be? Everything's going to be so wicked that they're going to be wanting to judge them to hell and be like kind of like Elijah and say, Lord, remember the disciples come out and they seen people and they say, well, wilt thou this time we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them like Elijah did? He said, he was in a special situation. Y'all don't need to do that. Y'all need to be worried about preaching. You know what they're going to be wanting to do? They're going to be seeing, because God is going to, in that tribulation period, supernaturally bring up people who are able to raise the sick again and heal the deaf and dumb and all that stuff. And instead of doing those things, they're going to be wanting to judge folks and say, no, we can loose them and you're going to, God's saying, look, you don't judge them like that. It's for me to judge them. It's for you to get out there and preach to them. So you know how you bring it over there to us? This world's living wicked, man. You see your politicians are wicked and all this stuff. And you see all this wickedness going on in the world. And people can't even, they want to go to the moon, but you can't hardly walk around the sidewalk safely these days. But you know, it's going to be, our temptation is to say, look how wicked they are. You know what God's saying? I saved you.
Yeah.
You're pretty wicked.
Amen.
You know what we better realize, just like with them? It's God's the business to judge. The Bible says judge spiritual judgment. So we do have a level of judgment we're supposed to do. But I'm going to tell you something. When it has to do with salvation, I just give them the gospel. You can give them the truth. And I'm going to tell you this right here. As far as that other stuff is judging where they are, and they won't never get saved, and they're never going to do right. You don't know. That's not for us. I've seen people I would have never thought would have been serving God. And here they are serving God. And I've seen people on the opposite token, I thought, man, that if anybody stays in, that person is going to stay in.
Yeah.
Out.
Yeah.
Just gone. You know what? It's God. God is the one that judges. Now, they're going to have to remember that. Now, he says in verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Now, where are you at in the tribulation? You say you're looking at that tribulation doctrine and you see that buying and selling. Now, while I'm setting this up for you, now turn to Revelation chapter 13. We'll see this thing about this buying and selling. See, the thing is, they're in rebellion to God. If they're saying, hey, we're going to go here and we're going to go there tomorrow and stuff like that. When they're going to these cities and they're going to such a city, well, you know what? The Bible tells them they're supposed to go into the cities of Israel and preach the gospel. They're supposed to be going to these cities and preaching instead of going to these cities and prospering. They won't see. He's saying, you better be careful about that wanting to prosper in a worldly sense above what God wants you to. Nothing wrong with prospering as long as it's in the Lord. Nothing wrong with that. But once it's outside the Lord, you got an issue. Alright, so he's saying, hey, as long as you're doing what I'm telling you to do, you can go tomorrow and stuff like that, but you don't know what you're going to be doing the next day. Y'all, I'm going to tell you, that thing for them, they're going to be going and they're going to say, hey, we can go make these plans. And you know what? Before long, they're out. Why? They're going to these cities and they better watch what they're looking at in these cities. Look at Revelation 13. Look at verse number 17. It says, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. You know what he's telling them over in James? You better be careful. You think you're going to go in these cities and buy and sell. Why? The only way you're going to be able to go on those plans is you take the mark of the beast. That's what he's saying prophetically. Now, here's for us. You want way to apply that to us? You know what the Bible said about Demas? Having loved this present world. They're going over here and he's going with Paul in these cities and they're going to Athens and all this stuff. You know what? Demas gets up there and he's preaching and he's looking and saying, oh, so-and-so is prospering. Oh, so-and-so over here is prospering. Oh, they... And before long, he's looking at prosperity more than he is looking at preaching. He's looking at prosperity more than he is the precepts of the Lord. Look, we've all got to go out and do. We've all got bills to pay and stuff like that. But the trouble is being able to keep that balance between loving this present world and loving the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said He died for the whole world. So He died for, but at the same time, He's in the world, not of the world. Keeping that balance of being in the world, not of the world, is what we have to do. Because look, y'all, every one of y'all know, according to the Bible, Paul says you can work and you can pay your bill. You can even lay up in store and things like that. Nothing wrong with that. But you better keep the balance. Why? Because if you get to the place where you'd rather do that and you have served the Lord, you've got an issue. See, it's got to be that balance in there that only God can give. And for them, now you think about this, ain't you glad you're not in that right there? The only way they can buy or sell is through the market. So you know what that's telling me? If he's saying, look, if you think you're going to plan things without the Lord and have something without the Lord in it, before long you'll be buying and selling. You'll fall right in with the world and you'll be untook that mark. That's what he's telling. So prophetically speaking, you know what the issue is going to get? People are going to get more and more of the place where they, because buying and selling is going to be easy. Now, look, you don't even have to go anywhere if you don't want to. You can have your groceries delivered to you. You can have your anything. I have my parts and stuff delivered to me. Probably 99% of it, probably, wouldn't you say? All delivered to me. All my compounds, everything delivered to me. You don't even have to go out. You know what people are going to be able to do? Sit down and just buy and sell and buy and sell and buy and sell. They're trying to get everything online, these cryptocurrencies and all this stuff. What's that about? Sit there and just look at that screen. Why? So you don't go out and do anything else. So you don't get out and look at nature. You don't get out and look at the things God's got you doing. And everything's just at your fingertips. And everything's so easy, easy, easy. And it's just snap your fingers. And before long, you're able to sit there and buy and sell. And you can go to the whole world without leaving your home.
That's right, bro.
And you know what he's saying? You better be careful about that stuff. You know, I heard a preacher preach one time on the prodigal, and he said, the trouble is, with the way the society was set up, it was harder to go prodigal because you actually had to go somewhere. Now you can just get it piped right into your house. You can go to the far country. You know what? People can be sitting on church pews and looking on their cell phones in the far country right here at church.
Right.
Well, we don't know what they're looking at. People say, I'm looking at my Bible. Well, it's going to be the trust issue because I have no idea what you're looking at. That's why I like them books. He says, seek ye out the book of the Lord. You see that one? Because God has got that thing set up so He can keep you right. Now, you know what doctrine for them? They better be wary about their plans, because if they don't have those things wrapped up in the Lord, they're going to want to get gain. You know what the Bible says? Godliness with contentment is great gain. You know what the gain we better be careful about? Is saying, God, I want to gain in godliness more than anything else. And you know what? If you'll do that. Now, the reason why God tells you that, if He does allow you to have some riches, if you've got the godliness, you can handle the riches.
That's right.
But if you don't have the godliness, that tells you how holy weird. You get up there and you see all these weirdos, and they're up here. Look, they got more money than any of us ever have, probably, on this earth. And you know what? They can't handle it. Why? Because if you don't have the godliness, you can't handle it, and it'll drive you mad. But if God sets you up over the years to give you the godliness, and He gives you something, why didn't He give it to you a long time ago? He waited till you got to where you could handle it. You know what He's doing a lot of times with us? He's getting us to wait to where we can handle it. Why? Because we wouldn't have never helped anybody with it before we got it. You know what? You know how a lot of times He waits on us to get spiritual knowledge? Because if we had got it younger, too young, we wouldn't have been balanced out in our zeal. We would have got out there and we got all this knowledge. And man, we would have got out there and just took the sword of the Spirit and just cut people down with it. You know what He says? I don't want you to go and cut people down. I want you to take that sword of the Spirit, instead of cutting their heads off, cut their chains off.
That's
Amen.
Cut them loose. It's not there to stab and hurt people. You take some of these guys, they take that Bible, and they'll get up here and just rip people to shreds. Well, look, when you preach on sin, it's not supposed to be the aim of hurting folks. It's supposed to be the aim of helping them out of what they're in. That's what that Bible's for. It's sitting there, and he's telling them with the Word of God, and he said, you better get the right game. Otherwise, you'll gain hell instead of heaven's what you'll gain. That's not good game. Look, bad game is bad.
Yeah.
If I gain something that I'm not able to hold, let's just say somebody said, man, I'm going to give you a brand new suit of armor, but the thing was heavy and I'm not strong enough to hold it, it's going to weight me down instead of help me.
Yeah.
I could have just had maybe just a breastplate if I could have held it, and it would have helped me more in the battle. Well, if you gain things that you're not able to handle, well, then all it's going to do is weight you down. But if you get strong, the Bible says be strong in the Lord.
Right.
You can handle it.
Yeah.
He's warning them there. Well, they gain the wrong thing, and they'll be worse off for it.
Yeah.
Now look at verse number 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Man, isn't that something right there? It says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. I'm going to tell you something. If that right there isn't so... And look, most of y'all in here are older than me. I don't know what's going on, but sometimes I feel like my life is in fast forward. Sometimes I wonder if God hadn't pushed the fast forward button some kind of way. It seems like the days, I mean, I'm not kidding you. We were just here, me and Brother Mike were just here, it seemed like, last Sunday. Standing right up there with that power line down out there by the church and couldn't come. And I thought, and this week has flown by. You know what it is? It's, the Bible says it's a vapor.
Yeah.
You know what doctrine for them, why he's telling them that? He's saying, look, you're in the last time. You're on Daniel's 70th week's almost over. Don't give up. Don't give up on the Lord because it's almost over. Don't go to buying and selling. Don't go into the world. This thing's almost over. It's just a vapor. This time period's almost, I'm just about to come back. You say, how can I apply that to me? Well, that works both ways, a lot of ways. The rapture could happen any minute. Y'all, I'm telling you something. Some people think, well, it can only happen in September. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. The rapture could happen any minute. Some people put their own, and they get out here and they minus this, they subtract that, and they plus this over here, and they pull this year in here, and this one guy died over here, and you take the sundial back. I'm thinking, what are you doing? The Bible said we're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. He could come back any moment. And that's biblical, man. You know what I'm supposed to do as a preacher? One of the main things, look for the Lord, look for the Lord. Every day, He could come. You know what He's trying to get them to do? Keep yourself looking for the Lord. I want to give you a note on the brevity of life and how things are. I shared this with Brother Mike last Sunday in our devotion together. But if you will, I just want to show you a little picture here. Look at Revelation chapter 15. Revelation chapter 15, this is something that I'm sure I'm not the only one that's seen this, but anyway, I thought it was a blessing. I've learned a lot of times I'll think I've got something the Lord showed me and He showed somebody else too. But at least He shows us, you know. There's nothing new under the sun. What God's shown me, He's shown somebody else when they needed it. But your life is a vapor. Y'all, what He's trying to do is keep them in perspective of what life is. You know what we have to do? We have to get in that Bible to keep in perspective what life is. This world, this is what scares me about the world, the course of this world. They're living like it's just going to keep going and keep going. It's just going to keep on like they said. Well, where's the promises coming? It's just been like this since the fathers.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what you think. God has taken times. He's taken times where He ended it over there with Sodom and Gomorrah. He's ended that thing with Noah. He's come in several times. There's been nations that was a great and mighty nation. One day, the very next day, was no longer in power.
Right.
You take Babylon, and one day, they come underneath that gate over there, and I think it's the Medes and Persians come in there, and they come underneath that thing, and here's a great nation one day, next day, completely, utterly destroyed. You know what, it just don't always continue like that. God has to remind us, we have to realize that these things are fragile.
That's right.
And I'll give you a picture here that God gives you in Revelation 15. Watch this. You know, the Bible says God uses similitudes. So He uses like and as to teach us. He says, "And I saw as it were," in verse 2, "as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God." Now, I've already gotten a victory, so that this doctrinally is not to me. This is going to be people who go through that time. But you know what I can do? I can get a picture of this. You know what the Bible says? The sea is like the people are like the troubled sea in Isaiah 57, verse 20. All right, so you got these people right here. So here's the sea. And then you got the fire. It says glass mingled with fire. Job says his life was like sparks flying upward. So you got the fire like this, and then you've got this thing where it says you got a sea. It's like people, and the troubled sea of glass mingled with fire. What's that glass? You got brittleness of life, brevity of life, like those little sparks that go up like this right here. Brittleness and brevity mixed with fire on a troubled sea. You know what he's telling you? As it were. He said, man, they got this victory here, but you know what we got to realize? We got victory in Jesus. He's already overcome all that stuff. He's showing you. The only life that's worth it is in the Lord. Why? Because He is everlasting life. Why? Because life on this earth, I'm going to tell you what it is. According to that Bible right there, it's like a troubled sea. It's like sparks flying upward. As soon as one spark goes, it'll fizzle out and another one take its place. And it's brittle as glass. He said, that's how this thing is. You know why he's telling? He's letting you know right up front how it is. He don't shade the thing and say, well, everything's just flowers all the time. He said, as far as life on this earth, that's how it is. And you know what the only way to get victory is? Victory in Jesus.
Amen.
You know how to overcome this old sin-cursed, wicked world? It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know where the abundant life is? It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all, it's amazing to me how the most vast subject there is of the Lord Jesus Christ, the best subject there is the Lord Jesus Christ, the most wonderful subject there is the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's one of the most little talked about subjects out there today. You know what? It's not, you know, a lot of people are so involved with these social evils of the day, which they've been around for time and time again. It wasn't social evil that put the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. It was sin. So you know what I'm realizing? Lord, help me be right with You so I can have less sin in my heart and life, and I can live the more abundant life in a sweeter fellowship with You. It's not social evil. It's sin. And you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ is trying to let them know, hey, your life is just a vapor, man. It's just literally here today and gone the next. So you know what? I'll give you this. You don't have to turn there. But one verse we got to realize, if you want to mark it down, Colossians 3:1, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection." You got to set it. It says set. You have to set. I have to make a conscious effort to set this right here. Set your affection on things above, not on things of earth. That is one of the biggest trouble. I can analyze my heart. When I get in there, and everyone, if you got times where you get with the Lord, and I get to analyzing that problem, and you get to looking at that thing, and I say, ugh. And if you really get to look, you say, I have set my affection on the wrong thing.
That's right.
Why, you know what's wrong with a lot of people? Why they don't serve the Lord and stuff like that? They're setting their affection on the earth. You know where people are on the earth, aren't they? A lot of times we'll say, well, so-and-so disappointed me, or this one's doing that, or I don't like the way they behave. You're setting your affection on things on the earth, and the earth will fail you because earth is failing every day.
Yeah, that's right.
And you set your affection on the Lord Jesus Christ, and it sets your heart right. It resets your affection. You ever have sometimes, some of you know, like Carla's got these hair dryers, and sometimes some things that get, I don't know what they do, but sometimes you have to mash the reset button. You know what some of us need to do is just reset our affection. Why? Then you get the power flowing again.
There you go.
A lot of folks, we lose our power because we're not set right. So what he's telling them is, he's trying to let them know your life is a vapor. You need to have your affection set right. And we can sure apply that part of it, ain't no doubt. He says, verse 15, here's the remedy here for them not to be making these big plans and everything. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You know what we better get to what we do? Is say, Lord willing. Lord willing, I'm going to do this. Why? I can tell you something, the devil can hinder you in all kinds of ways. I want to give you that. That's a good... Paul uses this. If you will, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I want you to see a couple of these about us applying this to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And Paul would make sure he said the Lord will. You know what I'm getting to where I do? I try my best to put it in my vocabulary. Lord willing, Monday, I'm going to go up here and get a tune-up done, and I'm going to start this job over here. Lord willing, Tuesday, I've got this thing set up and stuff. But Lord willing, why? Because, brothers and sisters, if it is not the Lord's will, I don't care how hard you fight against it, you're not going to do it.
That's right.
Lord willing, we will do this thing. You know what he's saying? You're trying to make all these plans. He's telling them, you're trying to say, tomorrow I'm going to do this, tomorrow I'm going to do this other thing, when your life is a vapor, and before you know it, that vapor could be fizzled out by the next day. You know what the best thing we need to do? Lord willing. You know what the Lord's will is? He's not willing that any should perish. If they're going to be in the right Lord's will, they need to realize, hey, the main thing is getting God's work done, because He wants to see people get saved and get right with Him. Well, He says, and I'm not willing that any should perish. You know what the main thing we got to do? Is keep getting the gospel out, keep getting the gospel out, keep getting the gospel out, keep edifying saints, keep trying to help people, keep the work of God. That's the main thing. That's the will of God. Why? It's the Lord's will. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, look at verse number 19. But I will come to you shortly. But watch this. If the Lord will, and we'll know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. You know what he's saying? I'm hoping to come to you shortly, but only if the Lord wills.
That's right.
I've had all kinds of intentions. I've had intentions to go and see people. I've had intentions of calling people before and stuff like that. I've even had intentions just sending a short text to somebody. Something happened, I completely forget they text me. Something happened, man, I completely forget. Why? We're all so busy and things like that. Why? We're just men and women. We can't always keep our word. God always keeps His word. That's one thing I love about the Lord, y'all. The Lord is able. If He says it, He can make good on it. And not with us. We're just men. We can't always do it. That's why we need to say, Lord willing. Because if it's in His will, I'll give you another one on this thing. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 on the way back home here. 1 Thessalonians. I like to give y'all a lot of verses, but the verses is going to be what's helping you. That's one reason I like to give you a lot of them. Y'all, sometimes you have good intentions. And I know with me, I have had a lot of intentions on really doing something and maybe being a blessing to somebody, or maybe coming to somebody's house and visit them and things, and stuff happened. But look at this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says, wherefore, in verse 18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. You know why you need to say if the Lord will whenever you're traveling or doing whatever? Satan's out there trying to hinder you. If he can hinder you through the world, the flesh, and the devil, he can. You know what hinders a lot of folks from serving the Lord? They yield to the flesh, and the flesh always serves the devil. And you know what happens? That flesh is going to do what the devil wants to do. And Satan can hinder you through. You know what? The world, he'll work through the world. This world will have a stream. It'll have a course it's going by. And Satan sets the course. He sets it. You know, they used to, they'd sail, and they would set their course by the stars because they were fixed. Okay? You got this North Star, it's fixed. Okay? Well, the devil, guess what? His course goes the way he wants it. And he sets his course It's a winding course.
Yes.
That's why one day it's like this, and you'll see it going this way, and these winds are going this way. And if public opinion and popular opinion go this other way, Satan has set his course for this way. And it's just why, and that's why it's never anything that's fixed. You know what we've got? I've got this Word of God right here, and in the Psalms, you know what the psalmist said? My heart is fixed, oh God. I'm fixed on this Bible. You've got to be fixed on this thing. He's trying to let them know, and we need to know too, if the Lord's will, we will live. If it's His will, we're going to live. And if it's not His will, I don't care what you do and how many vitamins you take and how much medicine you take or whatever. I take a few. I got to take vitamin C. I take some zinc. I take some D3. All that stuff. But that's not what's keeping me alive. You can do that part if you want to. I believe that's a blessing. I try to exercise a little bit. But I'm not depending on all that to keep me alive. If it's the Lord's will, we'll live. And not only that, as you're living, we'll do this or we'll do that. You know what? If it's the Lord's will, this church will keep going and we'll keep trying to serve God and stuff like that. But I'm going to tell you something. We get away from the Lord and get off on the wrong path and stuff like that. You won't do this or you won't do that. It's got to be the Lord doing these things. Now, He says this in verse 16, "But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil." Here they are rejoicing in their boastings. And see, what you got to realize is He's writing here. He's writing to these Jews. And Jerusalem is going to take preeminence. The focus is going to go all the way back to Jerusalem. I'm going to tell you this right here. Jerusalem is going to get to where it's got all kinds of power. It's going to be able to defeat nations and all kinds of things. And the seat of the Antichrist is going to be over there. And guess what? The apostates are going to be rejoicing. Look what all we can do. Look at all our merchandise and all this gold and silver. We've amassed all these riches and all that stuff. He said, "You're rejoicing and you're boasting. You better be careful." Yeah, you've gotten a lot and you've got a lot of gain and all this stuff. You better be careful. Better be humble. Better say, "Lord willing." Better realize life's a brevity. All this is not going to last.
That's right. Yeah.
He's saying, "You're rejoicing and you're boasting just because you can do a lot now. The very next day, you may not be able to do anything." You know what? He's trying to tell them, all such rejoicing is evil. You know what that tells me? When I'm rejoicing in something I think I can do, that's evil. You know, the Bible tells you rejoicing is a... The Bible says rejoicing always. Paul tells you that. But you know what? We get the word, we're rejoicing. And I've had people... We had one guy one time, he said, "When I was down there at that church, I was at that church was in its heyday."
Yeah.
"We had all kind of folks going there. We had kids running all over the place and everything." Well, what happened? Well, a couple of months after we was there, they all left. But it was in this heyday, and I thought to myself, wow. You see how blind people can be. You rejoice and you're boasting. If we do anything that's worth anything, y'all know the Bible said God's working in you to be able to do it. So who did it anyway? If I did it, was it me? No, it was God. If it was done right, it was the Lord. So all rejoicing is supposed to be, the Bible says, in the Lord. So we get something done today or tomorrow or whenever. Guess what? God gave me the breath. God gave me the boots to be able to do it. God gave me the backbone to be able to do it. God gave me all of the Bible to be able to do it. God gave me the filling of the Holy Spirit. God gives you everything, so all the rejoicing is in the Lord. He said, "You rejoice outside the Lord, that's evil. Any power they have, that's wicked." And guess what? Right there down on us, spiritually speaking, you rejoice outside God. We get talking about what all we've done, how much we've amassed, but a lot of these people, look what all our church is doing. If you're doing it yourself, it's not getting done right anyway. That's just all that is just human goodness. You know what the blessing comes from? God, this is you. God is you. And God is you. And Lord, thank you. And Lord, bless you. Bless your holy name, Lord. It's all you. And guess what, man? When you get in that right there, that way you can rejoice right in the joys on the inside of one. You're giving the credit where the credit's supposed to be.
Yeah.
I tell you something, in real life, you talking about killing the spirit or something, you give credit or take credit don't belong to you, it'll make you feel bad. You may right then, you may have done, you go home and you know you didn't do it. That's how it is on your spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit whenever we take credit that goes to Him. He gets all the glory, and the Bible says, all the honor and all the praise. And I tell you what, that's the way to have that rejoicing in your heart, is give the rejoicing where it's due. We'll pick up verse 17 next time. Let's close out. If we could, Brother Carey, if you would close.